thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
When I was thinking and praying about what to speak on this morning, I decided to speak on two verses from Ephesians chapter 6. These two verses had a very powerful impact on my own life at the end of last year, and I was sharing them in our midweek Bible study this past week. Now I'm going to read the whole passage from chapter 6 from verse 10, so that we can set the context for what Paul was speaking about. But I'm only going to focus on verses 10 and 11 this morning. But Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. I missed a bit there. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, Paul writes, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Very well-known verses. There are some passages in the Bible that are very familiar to us, and this is probably one of them. But have you ever noticed, when you read those very familiar passages carefully, even though you know that you're familiar with the words on the page, there are still greater depths to plumb in their meaning. And there are greater challenges in learning, well, how do I actually put that into practice in my real life? This was my experience recently in this passage of Scripture. We were running the Alpha course in Ballymena, and I had set aside a special week just for personal prayer on the run-up to the Alpha Saturday, where we'll be doing the teaching on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, my method on these kind of days of prayer is to choose a particular passage of Scripture, to print it out on a bit of paper, stick it in my pocket, to go somewhere quiet, and to use that passage of Scripture to focus my own mind and heart, and to use that Scripture to direct my prayers. So on one of the days, I printed out this passage of Scripture, and I went away to a quiet place to pray for the day. And as I started to read and pray through these Scriptures, I immediately felt the deep challenge of what Paul is writing about here, even just in these two opening verses. These two opening verses are not just kind of like an introduction leading on to the more important things that he's going to say about our spiritual armor. They're not just a pithy little saying, you know, that you could write in a card to send to somebody. I think these two verses come at us from three different angles. They are an exhortation. If you're thinking, well, what's an exhortation? An exhortation is some words that emphatically urge us. I love that because that just suits my personality. Emphatically urge us to do something. They are also an encouragement to us in our often very real sense of personal weakness. And they are a challenge to us to find our strength in the Lord and in his mighty power, and putting on the full armor of God to engage in spiritual battles. Now, finding strength in the Lord and engaging in spiritual battle are two spiritual realities that need to go hand in hand. The spiritual battle, if you're a Christian here this morning, that you are engaged in, isn't just something that happens from time to time or occasionally. Sometimes we feel the intensity of it a lot more, that is true. Sometimes we have an increased awareness of the spiritual battle. But the truth is, Christians live in a spiritual battle every single day of their lives. We can be so spiritually blinkered that sometimes we are oblivious to the schemes of the devil against the people that we're praying for and also in our own lives. We need to be in the battle, but we can't do it in our own strength. But we have access to the mighty power of God, and he is our strength in the battle. Now, I know that you, like me, we want to move forward, do we not, in 2026. We want to move forward in our own lives, and I know you want to move forward as a church. There'll be all sorts of areas, personally, as a church, where you want to see breakthrough this year, where you want to see spiritual growth this year in your own life, in your families. This is not a time to take a step back. This is a time to take a step forward, to get fresh perspective on the battle we're engaged in, and to be encouraged to find strength in God as we move forward in faith. So I said this morning, we're just going to look at the two verses, because if we don't grasp the exhortation, the encouragement, and the challenge of these, well, then the focus becomes all about us and what we can do. So I'll read the two verses again. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So I've got 2 points this morning. That was a big long introduction. Firstly, know where your strength lies. Has anyone ever said to you, keep strong? Keep strong or stay strong. Has anybody ever said that to you? Stay strong. That has become a really common phrase in our time. Something that is often said to someone when they're going through a very difficult patch in their life. But it can be a very insensitive thing to say to someone who is feeling anything but strong. Because the implication of saying to somebody, stay strong, is that you're already strong. And you, or else if you're not already strong, you must find the strength in yourself, you know, to carry on and see it through to the end of that trial. But for those of us who are believers, Paul has a completely different message. He tells us to be strong, but it isn't in our own strength. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. One of Paul's favorite descriptions for Christians or believers, and he uses it well over 160 times, it says you are in Christ. You are in the Lord. And so, because we are in Christ, we can be strong in the Lord. His mighty strength is ours to draw upon. Is that not one of the most incredible truths? I think that's one of the most incredible truths I know, but in all honesty, at least for me anyway, it's probably one that we least put into practice. Because so often, we're focused on ourselves, or we're kind of overwhelmed by our own feelings of weakness, that we haven't really grasped the Lord's mighty power is ours to draw upon. It's ours. We can be strong in his mighty power. In Ephesians 1, 17 to 22, a very familiar passage, Paul is praying that the eyes of our heart should be enlightened. He says, in order that we may know, and he talks about different things. But when Paul talks about the eyes of our heart being enlightened, that we could know something, he is not primarily talking about having a head knowledge of it. Of course, that's always important. But he's talking about experiential knowledge. He's talking about knowing it in your life, living it out. And he says here, one of the truths in verse 19 and 20, where he asks God to enlighten our hearts is this, and his incomparably great power. Isn't that great? When you're talking about God's incomparably great power, but that's not just what he's saying. He's saying his incomparably great power for us who believe. Amazing. And then, what's that power like? He said, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That's the kind of power we're talking about this morning. Ephesians 3:20, another very well-known verse. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. Praise the Lord. Now, if you read through the Bible from beginning to end, you see so many demonstrations of the mighty power of the Lord. I'm sure many of you do a program, like I do a program of reading the Bible through every year. So we're still in January, so you've probably read the beginning of Genesis. The mighty power of God to just speak and the world comes into being, like, I mean, we're talking about power here. His power to open up the Red Sea. His power to command a great fish to open its big gob to swallow Jonah, and then power to puke him out again on the seashore. I mean, really, it's amazing. His power to close the mouths of starving lions so they didn't touch Daniel when he's in their den. The power to save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire so that it didn't burn them. Jesus raising people from the dead. Jesus healing. Jesus feeding 5,000 men plus all the women and kids. The conversion of Saul on the Damascus Road. I mean, these are just a few of the huge, dramatic events of God's power that we see in the pages of Scripture. But then we also read about God's ordering the events of ordinary people's lives. You think of Naomi coming back from her time away, coming back with her daughter-in-law Ruth, just as the barley harvest was beginning, pivotal in that whole story of the coming into the line of the Messiah. You think about how God orders the kings and the rulers of this world to accomplish his purpose, which is celebrate at Christmas. Who put it into the heart of the Caesar to take a census of the entire Roman world so that Mary and Joseph would have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem to give birth to the Messiah that had been prophesied by Micah 700 years earlier? This is what God's power does, to bring about his purpose and will on the earth. You look through every page of the scriptures and you will see God's mighty power. But God's mighty power and his acts of power did not close with the closing of the scriptures. Do I need to say that again? God's mighty power and his acts of power did not close with the closing of the revelation of what we call the scriptures or the Bible. The writer to the Hebrews sums it up like this in 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. We do not find spiritual strength in ourselves, but because we are in Christ, we can be strong in him. His great power is available to us. And therefore, Paul exhorts us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Now, to obey that exhortation requires two seemingly opposing things: humility and confidence, or humility and boldness. We need humility to recognize we don't have any strength of our own, that our strength is inadequate. When we're thinking about spiritual battles, spiritual warfare, our strength is inadequate. We can do a lot of stuff in our own strength. We can put programs together. We can preach sermons. We can run lots of Christian ministries and activities. We can build up churches. But for real and lasting spiritual work to be done, it requires the humility to say, I need God's strength. I need God's strength. And it also requires boldness or confidence to believe that God's mighty power is available to me. Some of us struggle with that. Throughout my life, I have honestly thought, like, I am a nobody from nowhere. You know, honestly, brought up, as many of you know, in the most humble of circumstances, in a poor family, basically just such ordinary people. And sometimes I thought, like, who am I? Even to stand here this morning, who am I? But you see, humility, false humility, can kind of cripple you and you'll not do a thing. But biblical humility is coupled with this confidence and this boldness where you say, but the thing is, it's not about me. It's not about me anyway. It's for his glory. And it's that confidence to say, God, your mighty power with which you raised Christ from the dead, you opened the Red Sea, you closed the mouth of lions, that power is available to me. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? Faith, and I kept thinking about this wee phrase this week, faith is a hand that reaches out to take what God has promised. God has promised it. And we know it. We know it all in our heads. Some of you, I'm sure, know it more than I know it. We know it in our heads. But it's not about knowing it in our heads. It's putting our hand out and actually availing of that power. Spiritual warfare is more than prayer. It's certainly prayer is part of it. But I'm sure, like me, you want to go deeper in prayer. You want to pray and live from this position of faith and power, faith rather than strength, in the mighty power of God. So that's first point. Secondly, and I'm going to say and finally, but it might be quite long. Secondly, this morning, be spiritually aware. The devil is a schemer. The devil is a schemer. If you didn't know that, look around at the world. The evidence of his work is everywhere that we look, clearly seen. Jesus told us, Revelation 12:10, the devil is the accuser of Christians. John 8:44, he tells us he's a liar and the father of lies, and he's a murderer. John 10:10, he tells us his purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. We see the evidence of his work around us every single day. We hear his accusations against us, even in our own hearts. Part of spiritual warfare, putting on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the schemes of the devil in our own lives and those we're praying for. But look inside your heart and your mind this morning. You'll find evidence of his schemes. What schemes has the devil been or is the devil using against you? Is he accusing you of past sins and saying, God can never use you now? Never use you for your glory, for his glory after that. Is he telling you that if people really knew your inner struggles, they would despise you? Is he accusing you because you take or just find it a real struggle to read the Bible? Or you find it a real struggle to read and understand the Bible in a meaningful way? Is he murmuring against you because when you go to pray, there's an abundance of distractions? Do you have feelings of apathy about Christian fellowship? Is he telling you that if you give in to that weakness, it'll not really harm you because you can handle it? Is he bringing sneaky discouragements against you by the most unlikely people or sources? Is he trying to drag you into gossip? Is he making you feel lazy at work? Is he highlighting relationship difficulties for you to get your focus onto those? Is he trying to bring division into the church through little niggles? The list could go on and on and on. Again, I'm going to mention humility. There isn't one person in this room, and that absolutely includes me, who doesn't experience the schemes of the devil at work in their own heart and mind. But you know what? We need to be humble enough to admit it. We need to be humble to admit it, and along with the humility, we need the spiritual insight to understand and identify what the schemes of the devil against us are, to expose them, bring them into the light, and to say what impact they're having on us. Do you ever wonder why it's such a struggle to read the Bible? Because the devil knows. If you're not feeding your mind and your heart on the truth and getting the encouragement of the Word of God, he finds it much easier to fill your mind with lies and discouragement. Do you ever wonder why the devil loves to cause friction among Christians? Because he knows if most of us are focused on the faults and the feelings of other people, we get distracted from the true spiritual battle of trying to win souls for the kingdom of God. Do you ever wonder why the prayer meeting is one of the lowest attended meetings probably in every single church? Because the devil knows if I can convince the Christians that prayer is boring or it takes too long to see anything happen or it's not that effective, then he can just run rampant. Because he knows if Christians really understood the power of prayer, his kingdom's under serious threat. Do you ever wonder why Christians, even Christian leaders, fall away from the Lord? Simply because they've lost the humility and the spiritual awareness to recognize the schemes of the devil. One sinful thought leads to another sinful thought, and if not checked and corrected by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the next thing, that thought becomes an action. No wonder Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:12, so he said, if you, right, you think you are standing strong, be careful that you don't fall. Or 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, not the world, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I spoke on this, as I said, in our midweek on Tuesday night. On Wednesday, the word came out that a very prominent author, who was at New Horizon actually a couple of years ago, very prominent author, wrote so many books that many of us recognize, in his 70s, has just stepped back from everything after an 8-year extramarital affair. A man in his 70s, second one in his 70s, very prominent evangelical in the past year. But Paul's saying, if you think that's beyond what I'd ever do, be careful. Arrogance is the nightmare. Humility recognizes our own weakness. The devil's a schemer. His plan is to destroy unbelievers, but his plan is aimed at us too. He wants to make us fall. He wants to devour us. And sometimes he can't fully complete that or manage that. But he thinks, well, if I just make them complacent or a complainer, or spiritually lazy, self-satisfied, even self-righteous, they're not going to do much harm to my kingdom. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 about Satan outwitting us. He says, we are not unaware of his schemes. As we embark on a new year, it's always a good time to take honest stock of where we are spiritually, where we want to go. I know for myself, and this year, I want to push forward. I definitely want to push forward into a greater understanding. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? I want to exercise the hand of faith in this year, to actually not just have that as a head knowledge, but to actually know what that means in my real life. And I want to push forward in spiritual warfare, putting on the full armor to take my stand against the devil's schemes. I believe prayer is where the real work is done in any person's life, in the life of any church, as we seek God for the movement of his Spirit. So hear the exhortation, the encouragement and the challenge of Paul this morning. Be strong in the Lord, and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We're going to pray, and the team are going to come up and lead us in our final worship this morning. Father, I thank you that you know every single person who is sitting in this room this morning. You know all of our hearts. You know the internal struggles that we all have with different things. You know the areas of weakness and sometimes actually strengths where the devil schemes to pull us down and devour us. Lord, I pray at the beginning of this year, 2026, that you will open our eyes and our spiritual understanding to understand what his schemes against us are and to take our stand against them. And Lord, I pray for every person here and for this church as a collective body. I pray that in this year, Lord, that they would find their strength in God and in His mighty power. Lord, I pray this year that there'll be a hand collectively from this body that will reach out in faith and take hold of that mighty power that is available. And oh God, that you would break in surprising ways, amazing ways, Lord, here in this year that we are now in. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we are not left to just struggle on by ourselves. We couldn't make it, Lord. We couldn't make it. But thank you, you have given us everything we need for life and for godliness. You've given us your mighty power. We are in Christ. Help us just not to know that in our heads, but Lord, that it will be an experiential knowledge in our lives. I ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.